stop.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
That's good or bad. Hey, welcome back to Banter with the Boys. F1, what are we doing? Fast Laps, that's what it's called. Where we got the Miami recap and the Imola.
Emilia Romagna.
That's what I meant. Emilia Romagna. Parmesan cheese.
Imola. Imola's, yep. Oh.
Let's see. What happened?
That's rough.
Something. Oh, I thought like a camera just said that. Over. Anyway. Yes. We're here. I'm Smelty. That's good.
Hi, Smelty.
Joe.
I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe. And then Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
I'm here again.
Mike got off work early even, or like well before.
Yes,
that
sir.
We thought this was going to be a late one, and we ended up actually being earlier than our normal time, so that's awesome. Anyway, not that you guys care. I'm rambling. Yeah, let's just head right into the Miami GP recap. Right into the Miami GP recap. Yes, we got the FP1. Were those your notes, Joe?
Yes. Yes. FP1.
Lay FP1 on us and sprint quality while you're at it.
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
Roll those right into each other.
That sounds great. Yeah. So I guess like the biggest, like not really headline, but like the clip that came out of FP1 were the tools left in Lando's car after he left the garage. I think they left like two large lights. He had reported that they were like knocking around his cockpit. So he got back in, they pulled everything out. He was good. So that was just like a little
that
clip.
Would be rather that annoying.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Mm. Imagine like going full throttle and you just have, I mean, I would say broken bones, probably. Maybe.
You're going like, mock Jesus in these things, and you just got lights bashing around.
Yeah.
It's only like a top speed of like 210 miles an hour.
About
like
only.
That.
I mean, yeah. That's not even. I do
not
that every day.
Yeah.
I do that every day on my way to work.
He's over here, police.
This is more of a weekend note. Actually, maybe we'll touch on it when we get to them, so I'll leave that. At the end of free practice one, the only free practice because we had a sprint, Ollie Bearman did crash with about four minutes, 30 seconds left in the session.
Yes.
I think he just lost it. I don't think there's really anything else to it.
Yeah,
so.
I think so.
Is what it is.
Is what it is.
Going into sprint quali, biggest notes, Yuki out in SQ1. I just don't think he was able to set a very good time.
We'll touch on it too when we get to the GP and Red Bull as a whole. The car's just not great.
Not great.
Not great.
And then the last little note I had, I believe Jack Duane was released a little late and behind his teammate. So there was some conversation that he had to his engineer on the radio. The first and last time I think we're going to hear Jack swear.
Uh-oh.
And a little angry on the radio with his engineers because of how they released him. I think it was to the point where he got to the line and the flag had already been waved or something like that.
Probably just blew his whole GP. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why it was bad.
Definitely.
Yep. The only reason.
It was definitely that reason. That
it just
reason only.
Overflowed into the GP. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, really the most exciting part of sprint qualifying, Antonelli pole, the youngest driver to be on any kind of pole position in the sport. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. B, Antonelli is quickly becoming my new favorite driver.
Yeah.
The dude is just effing electric.
There's something like about Miami,
every race, okay, like the last three races, he has slowly been, not slowly, but he has been starting to take more and more chances. Like, some of them not as smart, right? You know, right. And that's just age and experience in F1, you would imagine. But, I mean, I don't know. It's becoming, I better get up so I can watch what Kimi Antonelli's going to do this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
There have been people I've been talking about, though, who've been seeing, like us, we're all very excited that Kimi did that. I'm very proud of Kimi. But, like, there are a lot of people who are like, it was a sprint quality. Does it even really count?
And I'm he had a good GP too.
I'm like,
he had a good sprint. He had a good race quality too.
I'm like, guys, it was still a qualifying session. What did you think? They were holding back for a qualifying session? Like it's.
He still beat the McLarens, which nobody can apparently do right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, it was still like an absolute fire lap.
And Verstappen's right behind them.
And he took the record for the fastest lap on the track so far. Like, so that is the fastest that we've seen come out of that track was a guy who's the youngest pole setter ever. So, like, I think people got to give him a little more credit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think his quality time, his one-lap pace is absolutely there. Definitely needs a little work on his race pace. He lost a lot of positions both in the race and the sprint and sprint. Mm-hmm. But his yeah, I mean, Miami was just a very good track for him. Was this the first time he's driven at Miami too?
Literally first time ever.
That's insane.
I think it was
I was like, F2 didn't go there last year.
It was most, I think, yeah, most of the rookies, I think this was their first time here.
There were a few other rookies who have been here before, like raced like FP1 sessions or stuff like that. But this was like literally Kimmy's first time ever being in Miami. So like, and I think it was it Jensen Button or whatever was saying that, like, he was talking to Kimmy before the race and he's like, do you have any tips? Like, what am I supposed to do here? I've never been here before.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, to be fair, not to get into the GP too much, but to be fair, he's still finishing P6 is, you know, for the first time ever. Pretty good. You started P3. Totally. That's a -3, obviously. But
for a rookie, I would not expect less.
Yeah, letting Albon, you know, beat you to the line. But at the same time, Williams had a great day. We'll touch on them.
That might be a Mercedes issue, not an Antonelli issue.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, where were we?
So, yeah. The sprint. I think I have a lot of notes on the sprint. I actually wrote them all inside our doc, and then I deleted them because it was taking up so much of it. So
that's a good point.
I'll just run through them really quick.
Go for it.
Very rainy on Saturday.
Very rainy.
Formation lap started under the safety car and then ended up in a red flag. About half an hour later, the race started, I think. Right. It started on lap 3. It was a standing start. Piastri, Norris, and Verstappen all took Antonelli in the first corner. Verstappen was noted for being out of position at the start. We saw Sainz and Ocon having some decent fights. Yuki pitting was the first to pit for slicks on the 11th lap. We saw, I think, another big highlight from sprint, Verstappen and Antonelli colliding in the pit lane from an unsafe release from Verstappen. Mm-hmm. He did end up getting a 10-second penalty, which just brought him right down the order. Sainz gets a puncture, has to retire. Norris gets saved by the safety car that comes out at the end of the race because Fernando did crash after getting what I believe looked like pit by Liam Lawson, just
straight up.
So Norris was able to get the last pit under safety car and just pull ahead of Piastri and win. So the race finished under the safety car. Nothing no one could do about that. Verstappen had to eat the 10-second penalty under the safety car, so he just dropped down the order. Sprint final was Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Albon, Russell, Stroll, Lawson, and Bearman. Lawson, after everything he had done, still got into points.
Bah.
Isn't that crazy?
Bah.
I can't believe that.
Bah.
That's wild.
Rubbish.
I do have like...
Actually, no. I'm so sorry. That's not true. There were penalties after the race. Lawson did not.
Yeah, you have your finishing eight as Norris, Piastri, Hamilton,
Russell, Stroll, Tsunoda, Antonelli, Gasly.
Yeah. Keep my Gasly
fault. After penalties and after all of that fun stuff. Sorry.
After all the penalties, Liam'd.
Yep.
Okay. Love that. I'm curious. There's been a couple, like, two major discussions that I saw come out of this race or the sprint. First is, how do you guys feel about potentially going forward? Like, this was, I think a lot of people agreed, the most eventful sprint that we have seen to date. A super fun sprint. And I think one of the things that made it so much fun was pits. And so there are a lot of people talking, like, maybe we should just start doing a forced pit in the sprints and just force, like, kind of like how you have to take at least one pit in a full length race. You have to take one pit in the sprint, which now forces some strategy on the teams, would allocate an extra tire for the weekend to make up for it.
Yep.
Yeah. But like, and that's fine. Like, we could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. And it would force more strategy into what we're doing. How late do we pit? Because we can already cover the whole sprint distance on one set of tires. Like, it opens up a ton of new strategy on what we can do. And a lot of people are talking about it could be fun. And I'm kind of curious your guys' take.
I don't hate that. I do agree that the sprint was extremely exciting, and mm-hmm. That, I don't hate it. Force pit.
Yeah. I mean, you're right in that. The reason, devil's
advocate today, Joel. You better be careful.
Yeah, only a tiny bit. Not going to rant about it. You're definitely right. It was like the pit is probably what really made it exciting, and that's because of the inclement weather. Right. So, like, obviously that also had a play in it, but mostly because they had to pit. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how they do it. I mean, it's such a short race.
The sprint felt real NASCAR-ish to me.
Sure.
In the sense of carnage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were racing each other real aggressively, almost arguably for me, almost more aggressively in the sprint than the GP. Like, yeah. And I don't know why that was.
I have a new pitch.
But we pitch it.
We make the track wet before the sprint race every time.
I mean,
just sprinkler system.
Just
pure chaos.
Yeah.
So
that sounds funny.
All right.
Really, and also I forgot to mention Leclerc crashes on the way to the grid, so he did not participate in the sprint. Yeah. Womp womp. Yeah.
The other thing that I saw people talking about with this was Max got really the short end of the stick for, you know, the unsafe release, 10-second penalty, and then being forced to end under a safety car. Because of that, it bunched all the cars up, and so it pushed him from, what was it, fourth or fifth, and knocked him all the way down to basically dead last, right? Yep. And that really sucks. And, like, I feel like in a situation like that, in, like, rare situations where, like, you're finishing under a safety car, right, they should do something slightly different where, like, a 10-second penalty would have otherwise been roughly about a 2-place grid penalty. I think they should have just given him a 2-place grid penalty.
Ooh, I think it would have been more than 2 places. It's still a sprint. I don't know if they were that far apart from each other. Maybe they were, but
I don't remember what the gaps
were. I see what you mean. I think if they start imposing place penalties for races, it just gets a little messy because, like, what if he was 20 seconds ahead of third or fifth, right? And he gets a 2-place grid penalty. It's like I would have cleared that with even the worst penalty they could have given me.
Well,
so it just introduces more like variables, or rather more flexibility, which they shouldn't have. It should be set in stone. It does suck. You're right. I mean, it wasn't his fault either.
No,
it was
his
team's fault.
Yeah.
But the team's got to take that penalty, and he's just got to deal with it, unfortunately.
To me, it's like, it's a specific thing of, like, when, if, like, a situation like this where somebody has a penalty to serve, like, when the race ends under a safety car specifically. Because the safety car then bunches everybody together.
Sure.
So that 20-second gap goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at that point, then under that circumstance, it feels like we should change things because we're under a weird circumstance already by finishing under a safety car, which is something that the FIA actively tries not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is something that happens, then maybe we should alter what our penalties are because we're not in a racing situation. We're in a safety car situation.
Yeah, I definitely see your point, and it kind of makes me think, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too, Smeltzy, because I'm interested in if you have any ideas. Maybe they introduced, like, before the safety car came out, this was the time gap, like, right before.
Mm.
So because of that, the 10-second penalty will be reduced in that setup.
Oh, sure, yeah,
right?
That makes sense.
Because
yeah.
we finished under safety car.
Yeah.
But then you still have people that are like, that's unfair. Like, because
you're saying
of that,
if somebody finished 20 seconds ahead, still using that example?
Yeah, yeah. If he was 20 seconds ahead before the safety car came out, but he had a 10-second penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they finish under safety car. Instead of putting him back all the way to the back of the grid, they're just like, hey, you had 20 seconds right before the safety car, so we're going to impose your 10 seconds on that, technically.
I think that's the most fair way to do it.
It's messy, but I mean, I guess it's the most fair. But at the same time, races are races and anything can happen.
Which
right?
is also like, a fact.
Like right. I mean, Liam Pitt Alonso. Do you think that's fair to Alonso?
No,
like,
of course not.
It's like, before the safety car, he didn't pit Alonso, so Alonso should actually finish sixth, right? It just
sounds great.
Yeah,
it introduces
that,
Alonso.
I love it. Now it gets messy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you're right.
But do you have any thoughts about that, Smeltzy? About just like, you know,
no.
if you could change the rule?
No,
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 no.
Leave
no.
it.
No, not on
you know
this
what?
One. Not
I like
this
your
one.
Thoughts. I'm gonna pitch you for a director of FIA. I think you'd be a good fit.
Everybody just whatever you want. It's fine. Sounds good.
And meanwhile, Mohammed Ben Salim's like,
What's a smelty?
Dude, I can't.
I just got word. He just introduced a rule that actually doesn't allow you to be. I'm so sorry.
Ooh, that's tough. It's
crazy how that happens.
Yeah, man. Wait. Oh, that's right. That's what I was, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Oh, we're going
to
get there.
Yeah, because I can't wait to hear why. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
We'll talk about it.
After I saw it, I chose not to dig into it, so you could tell me I can react to that live.
Totally.
Anyway. All right, what are we at? We're at qualifying for the GP, so we better hurry that along. You got any good notes on that, Joe?
No.
Perfect.
Yeah. Wait.
Wait a minute.
Hamilton out in Q2, both Williams and Ocon in Q3, come on.
Our teams.
That's it, though. Nothing else. Oh, and then just before race, Gasly starts in the pit lane. Do you remember why?
You know what? That'd be a good question for an Alpine fan.
Was it just... Obviously, it was park fermé changes, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I was curious if you knew exactly.
I mean, no. It was an Alpine. He was going to be in the back anyways, right?
Whoa! Wow!
Where did he finish?
Wait a minute. I don't remember.
Wait a minute. It just says due to setup changes.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be easy enough. He must have been pretty low then.
He went out Q1, I think. I think he went out 17th.
Excuse me. I think it was P18 actually, but you're right. Yeah. Q1.
So not, like at that point, just take your setup changes and hope for a better
Which
race.
Totally. Which is exactly what they ended up doing. Anyway, McLaren. Take it away, Joe. Your boys absolutely killing it.
I mean,
there's not really any other way to put that.
A race of their own, right?
Truly.
Both of them are Max Verstappen. Like, it's
whoa.
Both of them are Franz Hermann, I should say. They are so, I mean, 30 seconds ahead of P3. That was just Lando.
Yeah.
Making Oscar almost 40 seconds. It's crazy. They didn't have to fight each other. Piastri got ahead of Verstappen immediately. Lando did have to fight him a bit. Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And those two laps, not even. It was like a lap and a half. But of Lando and Max fighting.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was good.
So much fun.
It was good. Yeah,
but you could tell Max was fighting the heck out of that car.
Lando had a moment.
Just trying to stay up with him.
Yes. Yes. Lando had a moment where he thought he went off track and gained an advantage, so he gave Max the position back, and then he did it so well that he was right on him at the next. It was really good racing from McLaren. I mean, come on, no notes really.
And I mean, Piastri, I mean, he's quite literally, it's the definition of driving away with the WDC right now. I mean, it's gonna be really tough to get in that dude's way, even if you're Lando. Like he's the last few races, he's had way more pace than Lando anyway. So I don't know, dog. We could be looking at a brand new WDC champion already, and it's freaking May.
I just learned today, too, which is interesting. So Oscar has
Please
won.
Play devil's advocate on that.
Oscar has won three races in a row now, right? Yeah. And he's looking for his fourth. And McLaren, as a team, has never won more than four races in a row.
More than four.
The only driver to win four races in a row for McLaren was Prost.
Wow.
Really?
That's so
crazy.
So just imagine if Oscar shows up, guy in his third year ever, shows up and sets a record for such a tenured team like McLaren. That'd be so cool.
And you know, they have two drivers that can break that record.
They do.
And they're both gonna be up there.
I think Lando's gonna have to work for it a little more though.
I would agree with that.
He's going
at this point.
I will. Okay, listen. It's on everyone's mind.
I know this is. It's easy to say this, right?
Oscar's
doing so well. Well, because he is. It's a fact. You know what I mean?
He is. No, he is. He's driving better than Lando. It's just full stop. He's driving better than Lando. That being said, Lando, I think while he still has to drive well, it's not going to be. I mean. You guys say he's has some work ahead of him. You're right. To get to Oscar, he does. But like his car is so fast.
Right. Oh, it is.
Like,
oh yeah.
He's really as long as he doesn't, you know, scuff up quality, which they have a knack for doing sometimes for some reason. He's in the race. He's going.
This is reminding me so far of Verstappen, Checo, and then, you know, Lewis, Bottas right now. Like, they're so dominant that they're going to be able to just hold their own. Lando almost has two locked to me until Russell can put more pressure on him.
Yeah.
Which I think could still happen.
Right.
I do truly think George Russell could probably battle Lando, and we could see some fighting, some really good battling there the rest of this season.
I would love to see Mark kind of get up there more.
And Max is just going to, you know, be Max. He's going to be in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in there somewhere. I still, Max could still get P2 as well, but it's going to be fighting a really difficult car.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
No, what else is there to say? You know?
What else is there to say?
It was a literal perfect weekend, right?
Yeah, for McLaren. Yeah, no doubt. Mercedes, we already talked. George Russell finishing P3. But Kimi Antonelli, I like what you said here. His racecraft, he needs to work on a little. I think that hits it right on the head. That's totally true.
We saw it. He lost positions almost immediately, both in race and in quality.
Well, the first couple turns in the GP were quite interesting.
You're right,
he was like keeping up with Max. I was like,
definitely. Yeah. No, you're right.
And then it ended.
But I mean, his quality was quick.
Yeah.
So quick. I don't know where that came from. And then George was struggling so much in qualifying.
Right.
Like so much. That was a bad weekend for George, and he came up on the podium.
And in good George Russell fashion, happenstances his way into another podium.
And I'm really sad that I didn't take George on my podium this week. Boy,
didn't you? I thought you did.
You guys did a really crazy job. Wow, we had a shake up there. I can't wait to get
that's
to
right.
That.
You had Charles.
Holy crap. What a shake up.
Yeah.
4 point. Is that the first 4 point? No, that's 4 points in a row. All right, we'll get to that. Mike's killing us, Joe. What the heck here?
He almost got... He was so close.
We
were watching the race together, and he was so close to getting...
Six
points, and I was just like...
Joe was like, no.
I was like, I don't want... I want the McLaren 1-2, but I really can't have Max in third place right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You'll figure out what we're talking about in a second. If you're already a fan, you know what we're talking about.
For real.
Ferrari, Leclerc finishing P7, Lewis finishing P8. Yep. I mean, that's... At this point, I really had higher hopes for Ferrari and thinking that they could battle. But, I mean, now Antonelli's beating you pretty handily, it feels like. So I don't know. I think 7 and 8, maybe that is the most realistic thing we're going to see from Ferrari this year. Like, I think Leclerc, who knows? I think he could still... I don't know if he's going to get a podium, though. I was fairly confident he could still get podiums. But this is just, like, they're consistently where Aston was last year.
Charles said over the weekend that he's like, I think I got everything I could have out of the car this weekend.
And I believe him.
He said, I don't think I can get more out of that car. So barring weird things happening, this is kind of what to expect out of them. Like 5, 6, 7, like that's probably where they're at. I know they're bringing like a really small upgrade to like Imola, but like,
I don't think they can catch the Mercedes right now.
Yeah, I don't think they can catch the Mercedes right now either. Barring weird situations happening, the Mercedes starting on fire or something.
God, which could happen.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though.
What is
Hamilton finished third in the sprint, which kind of makes me think, what if their whole issue is strategy? Right?
What, Ferrari with strategy
Isn't
issues?
Crazy?
No.
Isn't that wild?
Ferrari's never had strategy
that being
issues
said,
ever.
That being said, doesn't account for them being beat by Williams. But, you know, so there's that.
There's that.
I don't know what's going on with Ferrari. I don't know. Maybe it was their livery. It was just really ugly this weekend.
Yeah,
it was
just held
not
them back.
Awesome.
I don't know
too
why
much
they
paint on
I would agree.
Car.
I would agree I with that. What's this Team Orders thing that you put in here, Joe?
Okay. So I was going to ask first, do you guys have any radio call-outs? Today? No?
No.
Okay, then we can just skip that section because this is the only thing I had.
So
there was a portion in the race where Hamilton and Leclerc were racing together. Hamilton was on fresher, I think, soft tires, right?
Mediums.
Or mediums. So he was on mediums, Leclerc was on hards. He asked to switch with Leclerc so he could try catching Albon, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
And they took forever to confirm that switch. And he was getting very impatient and calling him out on it. They finally did make the switch, like, way too many laps later. By that point, Hamilton was like, I mean, he had already kind of, like, burned through his tires a little bit more, and he could not catch him. So they told him to give the position back to Leclerc, which he did, I think, fairly quickly. But he was not happy about the situation as a whole. So some of the radio messages that we got from Hamilton during this time...
I just read one.
Yep. Wow. So this is, Leclerc was told to swap positions after three laps of Hamilton asking.
How did I miss this?
Hamilton says, I gave you the position in China. What are we doing? The engineer says, we are working on it. Hamilton responds, have a tea break while you're at it.
Dude, that's...
Right. That's like, I'm kind of a paraphrasing. I don't think that's exact quote.
No, have a tea break while you're at it. Yep. Come on. That's... quote.
Yeah, he did say lap 53. This is after Leclerc swaps back with Hamilton, so Leclerc's now back in front. Engineer gives him info, Hamilton info. Signs 1.3 behind. Hamilton responds, "You want me to let him pass too?"
Oh yeah, that one was so good.
Oh my gosh,
man. Yeah, that was.
Let him pass too? Oh yeah, you want me to let him pass as well? That one I did see.
It is so interesting,
zesty.
It's almost like, and we've seen this right when, like, 2 years ago, Ferrari was known for making the worst strategy calls. So they basically gave the strategy to the drivers to make themselves. It seems like they're trying to take that control back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the drivers are doing well with that. At least Hamilton's not. I didn't hear a peep from Leclerc the entire race. But
seven-time WDC, and now you're going to...
But, like, he didn't have to do this at Mercedes, right? It's just, I don't know what's going on. Then again, he never had a teammate that could stack up to him at Mercedes. He was either, like, really ahead of Bottas, or he was a bit behind Russell near the end there, so.
We're just going to say that Ferrari is in shambles.
Ferrari's
in shambles.
You know who isn't in shambles right now, though? I'm giving you the greatest segue I can here.
For who? Next on my list is Red Bull. Max Verstappen, but...
We haven't talked about Williams yet?
No, I know. That's because Joe made it.
No, I...
Not me.
Oh, that makes sense, because your lists are better, right?
Well, no, but I go... I do the team based on the highest position that...
Oh, that's why I was expecting
that's
that
the only
come.
Reason. That's
a, I didn't
I'm
do
not,
that.
I'm not... I could have made it, and I didn't
I'm
make
sorry.
It. So. No.
I'm sorry.
It was his first that I was doing a producer's job.
I'm sorry, I was doing a producer's job, Kevin.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Kev doesn't even make the document.
That's what I'm saying. Just credit me.
Kev's just getting shots.
He doesn't deserve it.
This is so bro.
Oh, technical difficulties. Max Verstappen 4, Yuki Tsunoda 10. Okay. Read now we can talk about
You should read that first line. Read that first
this
line.
This is Dad Verstappen.
Dad Verstappen.
That's a solid race.
Great.
Is that what we're calling him now?
That's what I'm calling him now. I'm either calling him Dad Verstappen or Franz Herbert.
Well, you gotta say it when you wear the shirt, though.
Okay. Dad
Crofty,
Verstappen.
No. Yeah. Crofty said something about, like this is why Max Verstappen's showing us why he's the daddy or something like that. Like,
what?
We're like, what did you just say on live television?
Yeah, daddy. Called daddy on the track. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, man, I don't know. Great
daddy
qualifying
Verstappen.
Out of him, though.
Yeah.
He qualified Q1, didn't he?
Can we call him that when he's finishing P4? I mean, it's still Verstappen.
It was a great qualifying. You
know, it was a good qualifying. Yeah, true. I wanted to note this earlier. Red Bull was running an updated floor in Max's car, not Yuki's car. I guess that it could explain some of the distance between them. It's Max Verstappen, let's be honest.
Yep.
I don't know if that floor really worked well.
I mean, Yuki got a point. It didn't.
Yuki got a point. Hey, he fought for the point, too. He got there, so I'll give him that.
So...
He still got beat
still
by both
than
Williams,
Liam.
But
still better than Liam.
Still doing better than Liam ever did.
How about them Alpines?
No, we don't even need to. Gasly finished P13. Woohoo! After starting in the pit, as we've mentioned,
that's actually pretty good though.
The doing Lawson thing. I mean,
it's T1, right?
That's just what's
turn
up?
One, turn one, lap one.
Yeah,
it was right away. I mean, there's a reason why Colapinto's going to be in the car. I mean. Unfortunately for Jack. Yeah. Hopefully he gets another opportunity, but
it
could
look
still
like
be without
Doohan him. Ran into Lawson, right?
To me, it did.
Okay. I don't remember.
Unfortunately.
Okay. The best comment I saw coming out of that, I'm sorry, was the last full lap of the race that Doohan did was in the Lego car.
Yeah. Yeah.
His last full lap of an F1 track.
It's also the happiest he's looked in the Alpine.
Oh my god!
They all
everyone,
did, actually.
I loved I loved watching that back. It was so funny.
So funny.
And taking a little bit of damage, like that. that cracked me up. And people are like, oh, the people that spent so many hours are probably so upset. And that somebody else was like, absolutely not. They're probably going crazy right now.
Yeah,
they're watching F1 drivers have the time of their life in something they built. I'm sure they were ecstatic.
Yeah,
Pierre Gasly, just the best reactions. He was losing it. His laugh is so good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved that. If you have not seen that, you need to go back and watch. It's totally worth your time. Unlike watching Haas this weekend. Ayo!
Womp womp.
Ocon finishing.
I did actually have one of my few notes about the races that actually Ollie in the sprint started P20 and raced his way up to P8 before getting knocked down to a penalty.
Ooh.
So... I think it was an unsafe release. Yeah, 20-8.
That's insane.
Insane, right? I'm saying
this is insane.
So like,
did he get help from the pit lane or the pits at all?
He probably did, yeah. But even still, he made a bunch of overtakes as well. Like it's kind of funny, like, looking at Ollie. We're talking about Kimi and how Kimi's got such great one-lap pace, and he can put up a really good qualifying, but his racecraft isn't really there. I feel like it's the opposite for... Ollie. I feel like Ollie is struggling in his one lap, but man, his racecraft is good.
Interesting.
Watching this guy race every single race is so cool.
I gotta lock that in next race.
Like,
I'm gonna pay heavy attention to Ollie.
I have not been paying attention to Ocon basically at all, because anytime I'm watching a Haas, I'm like, what's Oliver doing?
That's fair. Mm-hmm. He pissed me off last year.
Why?
Bah.
Bah.
Williams.
Woo! Woo!
My favorite underdog. Yeah, what a race.
What an awesome race. I mean, Albon
in fifth?
Yeah.
That's sick. Insane.
So sick.
That's crazy.
Oh. The thing is like, I don't think that's actually an anomaly. I think they could actually consistently beat out, like, Ferrari going the rest of the season, which actually sucks.
That's
because
crazy.
I had Ferrari. I know. I had Ferrari up.
Hold He's got to grab his
I
notes.
I have the original paper. Where did I put Ferrari in constructors?
Second. We all put Ferrari in second.
Darn. We're all idiots.
We're all bad.
Because I mean, at this point, I could see Williams at least starting to finish consistently higher than Ferrari. Definitely battling.
So
I mean, they looked good all race, really.
I do need to address one thing, and this is a note that I did make sure to write down, is Vowles after the race, when he was talking about this, and their reporters were asking, like, this is great, where did all his pace come from? And Vowles did state that this finish isn't going to be a normal thing, and that this track is a special performance, and that they have upgrades for very specific tracks, that they believe that they'll be able to put up performances like this again, but not to expect this in every race.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
So,
can
we expect points then, at least? You think?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like 9-10, 8-9-10, somewhere in
there. Like,
8's pushing it?
You know... I'm really happy to see them up there.
Because they looked so fast this week.
They did. They looked so good.
I was like, dang, they flipped a switch.
I would love to think that these upgrades
will... Turns out they
did.
They're going to turn it back off.
Yeah, I would love to think that these upgrades will carry them through the next couple races, at least close to points. To say that they're going to continuously beat Ferrari, I just think Ferrari is going to come back.
Well,
you know...
I want to.
I mean, they got Imola coming.
No, whole another half the season, right? Yeah. Essentially,
Williams didn't actually bring like full upgrades. This was just a package that they had for Miami.
Yeah.
So because Vowles has stated the fact that they're like, we're not working on this car this year, guys. They're like, we're not upgrading. We're focused on next year. They're like, this car, this performance is just what we've got. So they're like, if the people around us continue to upgrade, that's not our problem.
What a chance
like, we're
to
focusing
come out
on
of the
next
gate.
Year. Yeah,
hot
so
next
they're,
year for Williams.
They're focusing on next year basically entirely, and they've just got a couple of packages for a couple of races.
Could
like
Carlos
Miami
Sainz
was one
WDC?
That they
I mean,
are going to show up with, but aside from that, it's just.
I just wondered if anybody got.
Boy,
did you just
don't antagonize the poor boy?
No, he didn't antagonize. He just said something wild.
I made his brain go like. Wait a minute. Hold on. You need to stop thinking about that and go focus on what the heck he just.
I'm gonna just ignore that. despite it just being a package from Miami, Williams like not doing horrible in general.
In general, yeah.
Like yeah. So like I'm hoping at least through like this half of the season they can do some
constructors pulled up.
Yeah, I can pull it up really quick.
I think. I think
I'm screen peeking.
What do we want to see? Do we want to see what Williams is at?
Where is
Williams?
Williams
is fifth right now.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty handily.
Right
fifth.
Below Ferrari.
How many points below Ferrari?
Quite a bit. Like 27.
So that's a good distance. No, how many points are they 47 above six?
Points. They're 17 points above Haas.
Yep.
I mean, and they could absolutely. That's a good battle right there, Williams and Haas.
Yeah. I think those are the two front runners for fifth right now. I think Williams is crawling away with it. Haas has got to.
But Haas could still absolutely catch him, especially if Val's going to come out and say that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do either of them finish in fifth though? You think Haas?
Finish in fifth. I think one of those two teams is going to finish fifth.
Who's in seventh right now?
Seventh is Aston Martin, and I just don't see them. They're not, right now. They're not improving.
They're not gaining any traction.
But then you have Racing Bulls. And then
who could still flip the script?
Alpine and then Kick Sauber. Kick is done.
The only way Alpine flips the script this season is if Colapinto comes out hot. But I mean, Gasly also hasn't been finishing.
They have to fix the car's not Gasly's, good either.
Qualified okay in at least half the races this year, you know.
Yeah.
But he can't. They can't get the car to the finish.
Right.
You know, in points. So I don't know. Yeah, they got to fix the car. I don't think Alpine can make that jump as much as I want them to, and I had them actually finishing fifth.
I mean, of the bottom...
And you had Aston, so...
I do, and that was crazy of me. Yeah. Of the bottom five, I don't see either Williams or Haas finishing fifth. I see, like, an Alpine or a Racing Bulls coming back somehow.
Please be
That's crazy.
Like, that would be awesome.
Because, like you said, Williams is not working on the car, so it just doesn't really make sense that they would keep it. Yeah. Be cool if they did, but, like...
Well, and if Racing Bulls, Hadjar can absolutely battle for points with the likes of Ollie and Williams. I think he can wiggle his way into that mix pretty easily. Lawson, I think there's a logjam right now between P8 and P12, and I don't think Lawson is going to be part of that logjam.
No.
You know, so Racing Bulls for me would be tough to climb up there. Alpine started okay, They had a future for this season, you know, but that's quickly going away from them as well. They'd need a really crazy flip, and I don't know right now.
Yeah, and Aston Martin needs to...
I don't think Aston's pulling through.
I don't think Aston's even in question. I think you could see... I mean, yeah, we saw Hulkenberg finish in front of him this week, but, like, that could be normal.
It could be.
I think at this point, Bortoletto, I don't know.
Yeah.
Finish race, I think, but the car sucks.
Oh, I think I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but when you look at Williams versus Haas, you look at Haas, which should be, I think, a better car technically.
Than Williams?
Versus Williams, which has, in my opinion, better drivers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
it's a very interesting mashup between the two.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that Miami was the only package they're bringing.
Correct. Yeah, they do have a couple other packages.
So they just need to hit really hard for just three more races, and then they have fifth pretty much locked. I think they're a good.
Yeah. I think they're a good contender. I think
locked.
I mean, think about it. If you're finishing, what was it, fourth and eighth, or fifth and eighth?
Fifth and nine. Yeah.
And then you just have the top four teams filling in the rest of the gaps. How is anyone going to get you? You know?
And who's going to catch you if you can? Okay, I see. If you go hard,
That are there are going to be the top four teams. And then, you know, you got Max and then Yuki be getting 10.
You don't, I mean, 17 points, though. That is, they're 17 points above Haas.
How many points did you say Williams has right now?
37.
37. I mean, Aston last year finished with 94 points in fifth. So they're already a third of the way to where Aston finished last year.
This was round seven, right?
This was round six.
How many races do we have? 22?
24.
24 races? Yeah. So we're a fourth of the way there.
And they're a third of the way to the points. Very interesting.
Smeltzy, that's very interesting.
So, you know.
But, like, they're not going to do this every single race. So, like, you know, they're the third of the way there, but they're probably, they could have just a losing streak of just no points.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, I'm looking forward to this fight, though. This Williams-Haas.
I am too.
You know.
It's a fight that I
do hope that Alpine does make a comeback because, like, now that Ocon's off the team, I can start liking him a little bit more. And unfortunately,
did not like Ocon, huh?
I just don't care for the guy, you know? I don't know what it is.
He's a bit of a prima donna.
I don't know what it is. Yeah,
he's been pretty chill ever since joining Haas, though.
I don't know what it is.
Well, we touched on Kick and Aston. We don't need to talk about them. We talked about the radio for Hamilton, which was pretty much the only comms we heard this week. So, Kev, let's head right over into our news. And to start off our news, as the resident Alpine fan, Oliver Oakes resigns. There is some controversy. There is rumors about Flavio disagreeing with Oakes and pushing him out the door. Everything has been false so far, but the controversy is, I mean, that part of it is fairly true, with Oakes' brother, William, I believe his name is, being arrested. William is a president of
high-tech.
High-tech. So, and then there's, what's the thing? There's something related with the Mazepin family. Like, I thought William bought something that the Mazepin family used to own, like a share in something or something. So I can't remember.
What I think I was hearing was that they were basically using, like, high-tech to launder money.
Oh boy! The I did not hear that deep into
it. Yeah, so it sounds
yes, money laundering.
Yeah, so the Mazepins were basically money laundering through high tech with William, and that's why Oliver Oakes was like got out and like basically right after Miami, like didn't stick around for any press conferences, just on a plane, boom, out to Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So. He's gone, and a lot of people are very interested right now because they're like, wow, was Flavio not the bad guy for once? Like, was Flavio actually in the right for once?
And Flavio came out and said that it was nothing to do related to the team, which, I mean, obviously with this news coming out, we can probably gather that, you know?
Yep.
Because what's his name? Mazepin's dad, I can't remember. Mika? No.
I think I gotta remember.
Something like,
anyway,
he
was
Daddy,
like,
Mazepin.
UK was like... what's the word for it?
Nikita Mazepin.
What's the word for it?
Oh, it is Nikita, huh?
Oh, wait.
Essentially...
No, Dmitry.
Dmitry.
Mazepin. Essentially trying to blame Dmitry because he's close to Putin and stuff for the Ukraine war and all this stuff. So it's getting bad. It's getting bad. So, yeah, all the Oaks decide to dip out. Whether he's involved or not, that's all it would end up being about anyway. So it kind of sucks for him. Let's hope he's not involved. Let's see. Jack Doohan, out. Cole Pinto in for the next 5 races. I feel like that was going to happen as soon as Flavio took over.
Yep.
I mean, we knew that was going to happen. And honestly, Cole Pinto's probably going to do a better job than Jack. Just maybe. even from the slight experience he had. Now, we liked him when he came in a couple times last year, right? How many races did he have last year?
Cole Pinto?
Yeah.
I think he had at least five or six, I think.
Yeah, it was a chunk. Yeah, and I feel like the first few races, like I'm saying, like first 2 races, we were like pleasantly impressed, like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And then like he ended and he kept wrecking. So I'm hoping it's going to be better than what Jack was given Alpine to start this season. But
I think he'll definitely do a little bit better. I think his big issue...
Because he was in the Williams last year, right?
Yeah. I think his big issue last season is that he had a lot of pressure on him in the fact that he's like...
Obtain a seat?
Yeah, he's like, I know I don't have a seat, and this is really my chance to show what I'm worth. And he pushed himself really hard. And he actually took credit for like his Las Vegas crash, saying like, yeah, I was pushing myself harder than I should have because I know that I need to try and... I know I need to try and make a name for myself here.
I really like that point.
Yeah.
I think he's slotting into this seat right now way more comfortable than he was in the Williams seat.
I think he's like going to come in with a different mentality, very much more relaxed and comfortable. Like, I know I've got my seat. I know I've got a team that wants me to be here, you know. So.
Interesting. Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, he gives me this look all the time.
I think the biggest thing I want to talk about
he's
is going to
talk about how much he loves Jack and Liam
so much that
he wants to, like, Cadillac needs to have them, and then Logan Sargeant's the
reserve.
He
misses Logan, right?
It all leads back to Logan,
yeah.
And then Mick Schumacher.
I have news on Mick.
I think I have the same news on Mick.
So we'll come back to
Mick. So the biggest thing that I want to talk about is that they are calling this a rotate seat.
Yes.
So you said he has a seat,
cool.
But he really doesn't have the seat.
But he does.
They could be calling it a rotate seat just to make Jack feel better or make his swapping look better, and then they could keep Cole Pinto. I'm just going to say it. I don't think Colapinto is going to do any better than Jack did in five races.
I don't either.
It's like, tough. There's just, I don't think it's a problem with the drivers. Six races, yeah. So it's like, it's not a problem with the drivers. It's a problem with the car.
Well, there's a couple things that Jack has done that I'm like, whoa, buddy.
But I don't think Colapinto is going to be like worlds better than him.
Probably not worlds.
So I'm interested in when they say rotate seat and they are like, when I was reading about it for the first time, they were pitching it as a strategy of like, we want the seat to be like a rotating seat where we can bring talent in and out throughout the season to build up to Y2K 26. Sorry, that was crazy. To 2026. So they're trying to figure out who best slots in the seat. Yeah. So they're doing tryouts right now.
Yeah.
Essentially live tryouts in F1, which is crazy.
Which is actually, right? I mean, without telling the drivers that, right? Like that's probably the best way to do it.
That's what Flavio said, though. He was like, we want this seat to be rotating so we can take drivers in and out to figure out who best fits our team for the new regulations. Which is so interesting.
Flavio
it's also worth noting.
I was hearing today that there are rumors going around that in like some of the test runs that they were doing, the other driver they have is Paul Aaron, their other reserve driver, right? And Paul Allen. And I guess there were rumors going around that Paul Allen was putting up better times in the Alpine than Franco was, which could also be part of
part of the rotating seat? Which are we going to see a third driver in the Alpine?
I think we are.
It could be why Flavio was like, okay, you know what? Colapinto, we put all this effort into him, and he's a big name, and we want to put him in the seat, so we're going to rotate him in and give him a couple races, and if it's not working out, whatever, he's not scoring us points, we'll try and put Paul Allen in and see how he's doing and see if maybe he's a little bit faster. And
you know what? They're all the same, Jack. Get back in there at the end of the season.
You know, let's give Logan a call.
Ooh, man.
Oh. Mick?
Whoa.
Mick?
So say the Mick Schumacher, and then we'll talk about MBS.
I mean, Mick Schumacher, I mean, I guess I'll let you, you probably have more red on, like, you might have, like, a better point to say. I just know what he's doing right now.
I heard that, where's my note on it? So, actually, Mario Andretti had made a comment that Mick Schumacher has potential as a contender for the Cadillac spot.
Oh!
And so, Andretti is trying to potentially push for, or not push for it, but is talking about, like, we can't rule out Mick in this seat. And when talking about it, he pointed out the fact that in World Endurance, which I think is what you were probably going to bring up, he's gotten two podiums out of the three races. So he's actually been doing really, really well in Endurance. And so it's been kind of turning some heads, being like, maybe Mick has got a little bit of gas in the stove still.
And we've preached PR with Danny Rick and Sergio.
Right. Well,
why not
you
the biggest?
Have preached that.
Why not the
I
biggest?
Not.
Why not the biggest name in F1 and Schumacher of all time?
One of the biggest names.
Let me calm down. One of the biggest names in F1.
One of the biggest last names. Yes.
Yeah. Right. One that, you know, dumb American fans, no offense to us, would be like, oh my God, we're gonna be a
Schumacher.
So what's the thing though is that's exactly it though.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Mick, after his time with Haas, lost some of his like sponsors that he had that got him into Formula One. And so that's part of the reason he went to World Endurance, because like he lost that sponsorship, he lost all interest, whatever. Or other teams and sponsors lost interest in him.
I would imagine he also got swapped for Valtteri as a reserve driver too. So that probably freed him up to do other stuff.
Taking him is a bit of a gamble, because they don't get as much sponsorship money out of him, and that's something that a lot of teams need to think about, especially nowadays, which only furthers my ambitions that they're going to take Checo as their other seat, a pay driver who gets paid very well from big Mexican sponsors. How good would it be if they had Sergio and Mick Schumacher?
Checo spotted in Miami.
Okay.
Checo's in Miami.
He was in Miami.
Checo's in Miami for the upcoming Cadillac reveal.
He was in Miami. I'll put that on record.
Nothing. nothing happened. The reveal was stupid. The reveal was stupid.
The reveal was stupid. It was dumb. Pretty bad.
I didn't even see it. It was stupid. It was just like a video.
Yeah.
It was the video. Terry Crews was there. Yep. I think some of the artists were there. So he's racing next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry Crews
in
that.
They fit him in a car somehow.
Somehow.
The Cadillacs are going to be bigger cars than all the other cars on the track.
True to nature.
Just like the NASCAR...
The Camaro in the WEC. The Camaro at Le Mans. Yeah, that was crazy.
Those pictures blow my mind.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, you don't realize like how like car size. You think that those prototype cars are like huge, but they're truly car sized. I still think, I feel like honestly, Mick is a better choice or a more logical choice than Checo or Danny.
That's crazy. Honestly,
you're right though. Checo would bring in way more money if that's what they're looking
and
for.
And
maybe they should be. But I feel like a fresh driver looking for another shot, a good name as well, Mick would be a pretty good choice. I just don't think they're going to pick Checo.
They'd start selling a lot of Cadillacs in the U.S. more so if Checo became part of.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, so yeah, that was not my point. I was going to make with Mick. I was going to mention Mick is currently racing in Alpine Hypercar in WEC, doing very well. I think he just did the, was it 12 hours of Le Mans of Spa rather?
Yeah.
And I think he did decently.
He's on the podium, I thought.
And that Alpine. That Alpine WEC is not a good, has not been a great car to drive. So he's doing it well, I think.
How many drivers are in the 12 hour one?
So it's not just how many drivers, but how many like cars, because there's like three different classes of cars that are driving at the same time, or four different classes.
I'm just
cars.
Saying, mm-hmm. I know they use, don't they use four drivers for the 24 hour races?
Per car?
Per car, yeah.
It's like two to three, I think.
I thought it was four. Okay, never mind then.
I think I want to say it's two.
They probably still use the same two to three then for the 12 hour.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yeah, so like K-Mag is also in that series as well.
Yep.
He's in the BMW currently, and he's also been doing very well. Much like Antonelli, his qualifying is incredible, but their racecraft is not very good.
It's like they're former F1 drivers.
Yeah, the former F1 drivers tend to do very good unless they're Nick DeVries. I see usually in these endurance races.
His other buddy.
He loves that one.
Anyway.
Who loves that one?
Nick DeVries.
I don't like Nick DeVries. Moving on.
MBS, lay it on us. What's the deal here? And then we're going to skip the last.
So I have to give credit to Mike for finding this. There was a rumor or something. Carlos Sainz Sr. People were bidding him to take MBS's spot saying that he could run for it. And I think he maybe indicated a little bit of interest somewhere. I don't know if there's any validity to that. That being said, today, MBS came out and is proposing changes to the statutes of the governing body that would essentially, without getting into the nitty gritty, not allow that to happen because it would be a conflict of interest.
But he's making that?
Yes. So the current president
makes rules. So that means Toto's wife couldn't do it either.
Yes. Yeah. She already came out and said she wouldn't, but the current president is making rules saying, the current FIA president is coming out and making rules saying that, future people couldn't become the current FIA president.
If you have
that's
a conflict
not how
of
that's
interest.
Supposed to work, Joe.
It's not. Yeah. No.
That and actually,
sounds like a dictator.
I did go check it up. Carlos Sainz Senior did confirm that he was seriously considering
that's
running
awesome.
For the position. So it is. Interesting. It was confirmed by him that he's like, yeah, I am very seriously thinking about doing.
So
this.
What if Carlos Sainz was no longer racing? Then what?
He could probably do it. I think
he could do it.
I don't think so.
His son would probably be less than happy.
Yeah,
because his son would get the short end of the stick here. Williams would probably be really unhappy because they'd lose their driver.
No. I'm not saying like, hey, Carlos, you need to quit so I can do this thing. You know, that's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm just saying like, 10 years down the road, and Carlos is done racing, and it was still a thing.
Yeah, then Senior could in theory run for it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this is pretty pretty scummy. I do have other news about MBS as well, something that came out prior to this.
Yeah, more MBS news. I love
because
it.
Because there's always something with MBS.
He tries to be so cool.
He stated that that the FIA is going to work on toning down the rules for Appendix B, which is that ruling about drivers cussing on like over radio and in press conferences and things like that.
toning it down, how about we just get rid of it?
So, yeah, I agree. But which there's actually a lot of speculation that they're going to get rid of it, but they can't until they're between seasons. They can't make major rule book changes until they're between season.
That's
so fair. They're just going to dial down and kind of lay back off of Appendix B right now, so that like Ollie made a quote stating that he's like, I can't mess this up because I could in theory get fined for almost my entire year's pay.
Oh yeah.
Wow. So he's like what I make from my team is almost how much the fine is. So. And that's why, like, ever since that has come out, they've been getting a lot of negative
Interesting.
Press.
Interesting. I did not hear that about Ollie.
Yeah. So, MBS has come out and he's like, "Yep, the FIA, we're gonna back off on that just a little bit. We're still gonna enforce it, but like maybe if you mess up, we'll just like Max send you to go do community service or something. We aren't gonna
Which is still so dumb.
We aren't gonna fine you. <agree. laughs> We aren't gonna fine you $1 million, like."
I don't think Max did community service.
We would have heard if he did it.
I don't think he did. I feel like. He said he wasn't going to do it.
That's funny.
At least I think Hamilton told him not to do it. Max shouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I hope he didn't. That'd be way funnier.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was starting to type, did Max Verstappen, and it said win. Like, come on.
I mean, yes.
Over under.
That is interesting. It makes me think if they are going to kind of hold back or rather pull back on their regulations of what people can say. I think another big part of it is probably because Max has refused to just talk during interviews.
Yeah. And
he's just refused. He's like, I'm not going to talk about that because I'll get in trouble. Yep. Like that's like his main line now.
Yep.
And that's probably not great either.
No, that's terrible.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AI overview.
Okay.
We
always trust AI.
Yep. Correct. Always. It's 2025. Come on. yes, Max Verstappen completed his community service penalty in Rwanda. He served his punishment before the FIA Awards Gala, where he received his fourth championship title. So, yeah, I don't know what he did, but apparently he got it done in Rwanda.
Huh. Okay. Props to him, I guess.
Sorry, well, I don't know. Sorry, Kev. This is absolutely ridiculous.
What a disaster.
Unprofessional.
Yeah. So, well, it was a video of Max Verstappen in Rwanda doing community service. I wanted to see that.
Oh, fair.
It's just him talking at a microphone. Oh. So he probably gave a speech and they were like, that's good.
Good job.
And now he's driving a car in Rwanda.
I do.
Okay. No, this, he does not do anything.
I mean, did the community like it?
They must have.
He was servicing the community.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm going to go in a circle for 4 hours.
But he's driving it. Yeah.
So I do have one other quick note, too. And I told you about this ahead of time. But I did also hear as well that Red Bull has been trying to commune with the FIA and try and push back some of the regulations on next year's engine and change some of the rulings because
Red Bull's trying to do this?
Yes. They are afraid of how much the engine uses battery and how that will affect the engine on large straights and in high altitude locations.
No. We're afraid everybody's going to be on the same playing field as us.
That's the problem. So I think
that's what it is to me.
I think what it is that Red Bull is secretly like, oh crap, the Ford engine is not panning out to be as powerful as we want, and they need more time to work on it. So we need to make some changes that benefit us.
That's not going
to
happen.
That's so funny. I read a news article today. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think maybe they're backtracking or trying to do some PR. I read a news article today where Ford came out and said, yeah, the engine stuff is going great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
They came out and were like, it's like, yeah, I feel like obviously we don't have like the whole thing done, but like things are proceeding really well. Like we're getting information fed to us and we're getting ready. We're building parts. We're basically building parts to test now and it's going well. And so hearing that, I'm like, whoa, maybe that was just PR. Like
maybe it is just, I don't know. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe Red Bull is just blowing smoke out their butts or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're just trying to hassle the rest of the team as Red Bull likes to do. So
typical.
Or the rest of the grid, I mean to say.
All right. We got to move on. Preview, Kev. Preview. Just send it whenever you're ready. That sounds good. Joe, you ready?
A and it is time to go up to speed for the Formula One AWS Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna 2025.
I'm say really that glad. Five Woo! Times fast.
You killed that. I'm really glad. You. I'm not Thank trying you. To say those anymore. I get those.
Yeah, I mean, this. I think this is the one we mentioned last year too. Of like, that was a mouthful.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah. All right. As a fun fact, per usual, this circuit has been known by three different names. Autodroma di Imola, Autodroma Enzo e Dino Ferrari, and Emilia Romagna Circuit. I just call it Imola. I'm going to mention Imola a lot. I like wrote Emilia Romagna a lot because I think that's technically what it should be called, but it'll forever be Imola to me.
That's the technical name.
Yeah, it's going to forever. I think it's because it's the region that they're in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Our starting grid for last year's race is Max Tolando, Charles de Carlos. We go racing at Emilia-Romagna, and Max keeps his lead ahead of Lando. Both Ferraris side-by-side and close behind them, trailed by Oscar and a pair of Mercedes. An incredibly clean start from every driver in the field through the first corners, the only one to gain positions in the top 10 being Hamilton, moving ahead of Yuki. It is smooth sailing for 10 laps until we cut to Albon running slowly around the track after his pit stop. A replay of a stop is shown where only three of his tires are bolted down. He limps back to the pits for another change and comes out a lap down on the field. Perez, who started out of points and attempted to claw his way back, has a small incident on lap 14, going off the track and into the gravel after a quick lockup down into the last few corners before the starting straight. While the top of the order remains fairly static, we get to watch some more fights down the field, namely Yuki overtaking Logan in the start of the S's after a long first straight, and Hulkenberg taking Logan on the next set of S's quickly after. After his pit stop, Perez starts to regain control of this car and control his race, making a couple of easy moves into the bottom of the points, taking 9th from Hulk and 8th from Tsunoda. Lap 47, Hulk's day gets worse as he loses the final point position to Stroll, and 4 laps later, Stroll's day gets better as he takes Yuki's place, putting himself in 9th after utilizing the fresher set of tires. The battle for 2nd between Norris and Leclerc gets put on hold as Charles cuts through the grassy last chicane, losing time to Norris and falling slightly behind. By lap 46, Max is starting to feel a little under pressure as his tires start to fall off, and he's racing well after being given his final, and rather he is racing well on the edge being given his final warning from the track limits. He is told to focus on keeping it on track and, of course, staying ahead of Lando, all the while Lando is encouraged to push towards the leader. Lando is able to lessen the gap to 1.6 seconds by lap 58 when his engineer tells him that he can push even more on certain turns. We watch as Lando drives his car to the absolute limit, taking it to the knife edge of the curbs, almost losing control as he drives over them. At the end of the day, however, Max Verstappen is still Max Verstappen. Lando ends up closing the gap to under a second to Max. However, Max is able to keep him behind through the final lap, taking the win in Imola. Our finals, Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Piastri, Sainz, Hamilton, Russell, Perez, Stroll, and Tsunoda. I'm a little ahead. What happened?
Take a breath.
I mean, I'm blacked out.
I mean, you pounded it out.
Yeah, that was...
You pounded it out.
Crazy. It seemed like it was a... I mean, I don't want to say a boring race, but it wasn't the most exciting race ever last year. So, you know, it's a easy track, not a ton of overtaking opportunities. So
it's an older track.
It is.
So it does struggle with what some of the older tracks have, that our cars are very big now.
Mm-hmm.
The F1 cars are much bigger than they used to be, so it's harder to overtake on the track.
So another week where qualifying is going to be oh so crucial. And something that was
something you got to think about.
Other thing that'll make qualifying interesting that I failed to bring up in news is this weekend will be the first weekend where we will be able to use the C6 tire,
ooh,
which is also previously known as the Hypersofts.
Oh,
they were previously the purple tire.
So they'll be available. Mm.
They will be available.
Not saying they have to use them, but
correct.
They will be available.
But likely, to lay down a lap.
Likely chance that they will use it for qualifying.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They have to.
Because right? They are just the fastest.
They would have to, yeah.
So there's a good chance that that'll happen. We'll see some fast laps.
Interesting.
With the boys?
Oh.
There will be a few boys.
That's us.
That's us.
Sorry, I'm a little behind.
Wow.
Are we doing a pod? No. So last week in Miami, I got 1 point. Joe got 3. And Mike, he got 4. Joe and Mike both picking Oscar to win the race.
Hello.
Yellow.
That's my boy.
So wait a minute. Yeah, if he would have put George, yeah, he would have got. That would have been 6-pointer. That's the most we can get. Yeah.
Yep.
6.
So far, you're still the only one to get 6. That you got true. 6 on the second race.
Oh, that's right.
You did that.
Because of George Russell. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because
that.
Of George Russell.
I didn't
Russell.
Think anybody
the only
else.
One.
Who else?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm no longer in the lead, so I no longer have to go first.
Yeah?
Yeah, so now
Mike
is it,
with the 4 points, and I only grabbed one this week. We did a little switcheroo.
Now is it my turn to start reminding that I am now in the lead for the first time in the boys' history?
God, I mean,
like,
are you?
You've done
is this the first
every
time?
Episode. Yeah, you've it done is, every yeah. episode.
First time.
First time. Look at me. I'm number one. So I am so lost on who to pick because there's so many fast
well,
racers and qualifying
first,
is
so
yeah, qualifying is going to be really good. Well, there's so many good options that I'm like, pretty much anything you guys say, I'll be like, yeah, sure, that's fair.
So you should go with William Albon.
In third, I am picking Lando Norris.
Crazy.
Okay.
In second, I am picking Max Verstappen.
What a joke.
And in first, I am picking Oscar Piastri. And there's a little bit of copium in that. Although I do feel like there's a very real world where we see
Pish-posh.
Max qualify first.
Bro's just stealing my podium from last weekend. It's crazy.
I mean,
you inspired
to
me.
Be honest, kind of
I lost.
Yeah, true. All right, Joe.
So you should be happy, right?
It's not my turn. It's your turn.
It's me, huh?
Yeah.
Man, shame.
That was the good podium, by the way.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I know.
You're the wild card, by the way.
Hmm.
I think Mike and I typically always pick the same podium,
partner.
More or less. Like order kind of withstanding. The people are the same. You, however, had Charles in your podium.
Hey, I picked Charles Leclerc once.
Once.
Yeah, and I
he's
got points
it,
off of him, too.
He's done it almost every weekend.
Hey, you know what? This is basically a home race for him.
I have not picked...
It is Italy.
I have not picked Oscar to win yet.
It is Italy, yep.
Yet this year. Other than one time. Wow. Just failing.
This is also basically a home race for Kimi, too.
It is. Yeah. Yes, that's true. That's a really good, honestly, that's a really good point.
I really want to leave Oscar off my podium just to throw a wrench in things. But
you
I feel like
know.
That's not going to be smart. So we'll go Oscar winning because it just seems like
I
a want to
leave
choice.
Him off my podium. We're going to keep him in the top.
Oh, man. You guys are going to. This is going to be crazy.
George Russell.
George.
I was about to say.
George and Charles.
George frickin' Russell and P2. Do it.
Do it.
Yes.
Send it.
Let's
yes.
go.
Yes. And then say Charles Leclerc.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's okay. Probably smarter than Charles.
You made. Okay.
But Lando not on the podium. I don't know. That makes me nervous. And George at 2. That's crazy. So whatever. It's
you guys.
Fine.
Yeah.
It.
You guys made my job easy. It's Lando, Oscar, and Max.
I thought about doing Lando winning, and then I left him off my podium.
Yeah, I was going to do anything. So just a little insight into my game. I was going to do any opposite winner because I knew you were going to pick Oscar or Lando. I was going to opposite winner for you. So, Lando.
I was
trying to get a free
seriously.
2 points this week. That's all I'm trying to do.
I was very seriously thinking about putting Max up as my winner because Max is super fast. And
fair.
They're going to qualify on C6s more than likely. And Max's one lap pace is unreal.
I like this track's a toss up.
So
it's going to be a toss up this weekend.
My gut's telling me that Max is going to qualify first and he's going to take a 5-second penalty or like a 5-10-second penalty from like track limits and he's going to get pushed down to second.
Track limits is a great
because
thing to bring up too. Because
he struggled
like
with track limits last year.
You did.
And this car is a lot harder to handle than last year's car. So.
Okay, well, that actually helps my thought of potentially going really crazy and putting Kimi at 3.
That would have been sick.
Just to be fun.
I
but,
would love to
but
see
like,
Kimi on the
I
podium.
I think the track limit thing, you know, it is a skinnier track. I just, and watching some of these drivers the past few years that go to their home for the first time, like, it doesn't usually go well.
Usually,
no.
Yeah.
So, like,
great.
I just don't, I'm not feeling it.
I think
I could put Kimi on a podium this year.
Predictions be damned. I would like to see Kimi. Like, I think it would be cool if he got a podium.
Of course. Of course it would be cool. It would be cool if frickin' Joe Grandneau won a frickin' F1 championship, but that's not... I don't know how cool that would be.
Joe Grandneau?
What's his name?
Joe Guan Yu?
See, I can't say...
had no idea who you were talking about.
Guan. My bad, Joe.
I saw a different creator who was talking about how funny it's going to be if Kimi is fighting the Ferraris this weekend. Because what is the Tifosi going to do? They're going to be like, who are they going to root for? Their home team of the Ferraris or the Italian driver?
I think they can root for both.
They're going to like, Kimi will pass or the Ferraris will pass. They'll be like, yeah! And then Kimi will pass and they'll be like, yeah!
Italy. Oh, well. Screw it. Might as well.
Tifosi, if there's any Tifosi watchers, let me know.
All right. Man, that's it, fellas. That's it. That's a wrap.
Already?
That's a wrap. What do you mean already? We're at an hour 10, dog.
I could push this another half an hour.
We almost could have wrapped this up at 30 minutes. That's the sad part. So here we are. Glad you're still here with us. We're here the next 3 weeks.
Triple header. We don't have a break
until right before Canada, excuse me. So
we got Monaco coming up, don't we?
Yeah. So it's Amelia, and I'm gonna be done to saying other names this weekend. Parmesan Romeo, and then
Parmesan Romero,
and then I think it's Monaco, and then it's Spain.
It Monaco after Imola?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Monaco's next.
And we got the Spain JP.
Oh, I love España.
All right, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banner, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or iHeartRadio. Don't know what happened there. That's it. Peace.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.